Once upon a time, in a library not so far away, two nonfiction friends found themselves lost amongst the shelves. In 398.2 of the nonfiction section, the moral of this story is not all fairy tales are as they seem.
Gasp.
Right. The modern day fairy tales, as you know them, started as much darker versions of folk tales. So this week, we are going to talk about what those stories are.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
Yes.
I love the dark versions of the fairy tales.
As do I. What's your favorite?
So the one I read for this week actually became my favorite.
Oh.
Because it was just, I had a lot of fun with it.
That's good.
But I won't spoil it yet.
Right, that's a spoiler.
But it's one of the two that I have for you guys this week.
Cool. Mine's, I mean, I feel like I never really had one. I would say mine's the Hans Christian Andersen Little Mermaid story, because that's the one I'm most familiar with. But I have a newfound appreciation after researching for this one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it.
Okay.
What are yours?
Okay. Well, so I brought two stories today. The Snow Queen.
Uh-huh.
And The Emperor's New Clothes.
Yes.
Both of these written by Hans Christian Andersen, known for, like you said, The Little Mermaid,
mm-hmm.
The Ugly Duckling, and The Princess and the Pea. He is a Danish author, born in Odense, Denmark, on April 2nd, 1805.
Oh.
His family always believed that they were part of some royalty, but that was never accredited to them.
They just thought that they were.
Yeah, like, yes, we're royal.
Yes, we're royalty.
Yes, of course.
There's no proof to that, but yeah.
Yeah, there was absolutely no proof.
that takes moxie.
Hans had a very rough school life. He didn't have it very good. He didn't have a lot of people that believed in him. He tried to become an actor in Copenhagen because he had a good soprano voice.
Oh.
He also began writing during this period because of the urging of a friend of his. His first work gained recognition in 1829, titled A Journey on Foot from Holman's Canal to the East Point of Amager, which is a long title.
Mm-hmm. That's very long.
And I don't know if I said it right.
Probably not.
This work was also followed by a play, a book of poetry, and a travelogue.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was a very popular piece of work. In 1835, he began producing fairy tales. Initially, his writing didn't attract a children's audience. His works such as The Little Mermaid and The Emperor's New Clothes were overlooked.
Uh-huh. As they so often are.
Yeah. And it actually wasn't until 1845 that the English translations of his folk tales got the attention of foreign audiences. So it wasn't until much later when they were translated, you know, into more languages that they became more popular. Yeah, and he actually became friends with a famous novelist. You'll be surprised, maybe. I don't know if you'll be surprised. Charles Dickens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, how did they meet, I wonder?
I think I read somewhere, like Charles Dickens was, like, in town or something, and like he Hans like wanted to meet him, so they like met and they became friends or whatever.
Okay. Simple as that.
Yeah, and so in 1872 he died. Not from a really well way. He fell out of bed.
And bumped his head.
Well, no, it didn't say much, but it says died from falling out of bed.
Oh, my goodness. Is that where that nursery rhyme comes from, do you think? That'd
Maybe.
Be crazy. I have to look that up.
Okay, so the first story I am bringing today is The Snow Queen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Frozen is loosely based off of.
Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like you don't like Frozen that much.
I remember
seeing it in theaters, and I loved it.
Right.
Like, for the first time, and I was like, oh my god.
Yes.
Yes, and I loved it, and I was singing the soundtrack for, like, days after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it became this really big thing.
It got too big.
And I was like, I don't know. When things become too mainstream, I tend to kind of drift away.
Yeah, it was definitely oversaturation.
Yes. So the Snow Queen starts off with the Devil's Mirror that gets smashed into splinters, and it goes into the eye. One splinter goes into the eye, and one splinter goes into the heart of a boy named Kay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty graphic.
The Devil's Mirror?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's not a great Disney movie.
No.
So his heart turns into a lump of ice. Uh-huh. Kind of sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
And it changes his character, who notices his friend Gerda, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, Gerda.
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 Gerda. Yeah.
It sounds Gerda.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No. Yeah, so his friend Gerda's like, what's up? You know? It's like, why are you all different now? And eventually, he's actually kidnapped by the Snow Queen.
Uh-huh.
And he begins, while in her presence, he begins to lose some of his intelligence. He can't remember how to do some certain things.
Huh.
And eventually, he loses his memories due to the Snow Queen's kiss.
Okay.
So, as any natural child would do, Gerda goes on a quest to save her long-lost friend. She meets several people along the way, companions.
Is one a snowman that likes warm hugs?
No. Talking flowers.
Naturally.
An assertive princess.
Uh-huh.
A robber. And a couple of crows. Bougie crows.
Bougie crows.
Yeah, that's what it said in the book.
Okay.
She eventually finds her friend Kay, who's nearly frozen, and she gives him a big old hug, and her tears melt away his frozen heart.
Aww.
And then when she starts to sing his favorite hymn, he begins to cry, and it gets the other splinter out of his eye.
Aww.
And then they go home, and it's actually summertime at their home, so it's nice and warm.
The end.
Yeah, so this fairy tale, I read in, well, it's a companion to that fairy tale. So the book that I got it out of was the Oxford Companion to Fairy Tales. And it's edited by Jack Zipes, but it's a very cool, nifty book that I found in 398.21. And it is an Oxford Companion, so it's very detailed. There's a lot of big words in there that tripped me up a little bit. But I was able to get the gist of the fairy tale and everything about it. But definitely check this out if you want to have, I don't know, a companion when you're reading some of these older fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
My second book is The Emperor's New Clothes. And this is my new favorite now.
Oh, so this is it.
Yes, yes.
This is your favorite.
So it starts off, you know, with a king, and he loves clothes.
Of course.
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
And he just loves trying on new clothes, and then one day a couple of these shady-looking characters, I would say. Oh, by the way, I chose this book because I absolutely love the art inside of it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rebecca can attest.
It is pretty funny.
The art in it is prime for memes.
It's very meme worthy.
Yeah. So I took a couple of pictures of the book. Anyway, these two people say they are tailors, and they're like, oh, king, we can make you such beautiful clothing, such clothing that can that is only visible to people worthy of their position, or people who aren't like idiots, basically.
Fair.
And so he gives them like a whole bunch of money and like gold and silver thread, and he's like, okay, make these clothes for me. And they start making these clothes, and so the king's like, oh, I should probably check up on them, you know, see what's going on.
Uh-huh.
So he sends one of his advisors, because the king is afraid to go himself, because he's afraid that he might not be able to see the clothing himself. So the advisor goes and sees it, and he goes, sees these two guys working on looms, and he's like, there's nothing. There's nothing in the looms. There's no thread. There's no anything.
Bunch of idiots.
And so he pretends that, you know, oh, it's so beautiful. It's wonderful.
Please don't fire
and like,
me.
And they describe it to him, and then he relays that description back to the king.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually sends another advisor. He says he does the same thing. And the king's like, okay, I have to see this for myself. And then he goes in there and he looks at it and he doesn't see anything.
Right.
But he feigns, you know, ignorance. Right. He's like, oh, yes, it's magnificent. Of course. Yes, we must, like, wear this at once. And so it's like, oh, yes, we'll dress you and blah, blah, blah. And so they dress him, but he's naked. The guy's naked.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't he feel it, though? I guess not. I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
probably best not to dissect it like, too much.
The image that they're, like, trying to put is, like, you know, only the worthy can see it.
Right. So it's like Mjolnir.
Yeah. And so they pretend to put it on him. They pretend to, like, cut off some strings and stuff to make it, like, look. And everyone in his court is just like, oh, yes, magnificent, amazing. And he's like, oh, we must take it around, you know, town and show the people.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they take him around town. And all the people, like, they knew that, like, this outfit was being made for the king. So they all say, yes, yes, it is beautiful. It's lovely. Until, like, a child comes up and he says, like, the emperor has no clothes. He's, you know, he's naked. And then everyone else is like, yes, he is naked. Yeah. But, like, at the end of the story, you know, he's like, well, the show must go on. And he continues on.
Oh. So. Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. And I thought it was really cool and it's really funny.
That is funny. That's a very interesting social experiment.
Yeah. I don't think it paid off.
Very nice. Well, it turns out ours are probably around the same time.
Yeah. I do. Okay, so that actually came from... Okay, it's not from the same book
separate
that
book.
I had.
Right.
It's actually a separate book. Just the Emperor's New...
From...
The Emperor's New Clothes from the... What?
The children's section.
Okay, look.
But that's where you would find fairy tales.
Yeah, so we had to delve in a little bit there. And so I did take this from the children's section. But it is a book you can check out, and I definitely recommend.
Of course, kids' books often are the most beautifully illustrated as well.
Yes, and this is very well illustrated, yes. I will say that.
I concur. Very nice. So both of yours were by the same person.
Yes.
I chose to talk about the Brothers Grimm.
Ooh.
Also known as Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm.
That's a good name. Those are good names.
Jacob and Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Yes. They were born in Hanau, Hesse Castle, which is also Germany. It's modern day Germany.
Oh.
I'm not.
Okay.
They studied early history of German language and literature, including traditional German folk tales at the University of Marburg. They spent their entire lives collecting folklore. They were kind of obsessed with it. And then their first publication was the Grimm's Fairy Tales, originally known as Children's and Household Tales.
Are they really children's tales?
Well, funny you should mention that. So that came out in December 20th, 1812. So we're talking like the same century for our two dudes.
Yeah, same time period.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one... Highly criticized for not being child-friendly. Very graphic for violence.
Yeah.
The even the heroines in the stories did not meet good ends. So they did some edits. There were actually 7 versions of the same book. The first one started with 86 stories, and the last one had 211.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So my book is the Bicentennial Edition Annotated Brothers Grimm.
It looks very pretty.
Right? It's really fascinating. It has all of their stories in it with introductions.
And it's annotated.
Yes. And it's got all the little notes on the side with relative information. So maybe like German folklore or the story in existence in another culture, or the symbolism involved, or the theming involved. Because the Brothers Grimm didn't write these stories. Like, they didn't invent Cinderella. They wrote their own version of Cinderella and all of these.
We see your version, and here's ours.
Yes. I believe the first believed version of Cinderella was actually Italian.
Oh, interesting.
So, yes. While they're the most famous for these stories and the most well-known stories of the person. They're not the originals. So I read a few in here because I've actually never read anything by them. So I read a few, and I read the ones that were like what we would know as Disney fairy tales today.
Oh,
so
nice.
Cinderella, which is Aschenputtel in German. This is gonna be fun. Rapunzel.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. I was thinking about that yesterday when you told me her name, and I was like, Ash, why would you?
Yes.
I was like, oh, because of the ash.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Rapunzel, which is Rapunzel. Briar Rose, a.k.a. Sleeping Beauty, or Dornröschen. And Snow White, which is Schneewittchen. Schneewittchen. Yeah, I don't know. I'm terrible German. So that's the thing. So as we open this ginormous book, it also has different illustrations like throughout the centuries. So that's pretty cool. So Cinderella, as we were mentioning, here it is. Very beautiful. And the very first annotation in here talks about the German version of her name still meaning ashes. In German. Yeah. So Cinderella comes from the cinders that she sleeps in the fairy tale.
Yeah.
Aschenputtel means lowly kitchen maid, basically. Oh. So in this story, it's along the same lines as the Disney story. Her mom passes away. Her dad remarries.
Right.
Her stepmother is terrible. Her stepsisters are terrible. She's very lowly. The only, like... very stark difference is that in this version, she talks to birds that are in the tree above her mother's grave. And so the birds help her with her chores. So kind of like the Disney version. So when she comes to the ball and she does the whole thing with leaving her shoe behind, the prince still comes to find the maiden based off of the shoe. The stepsisters try on the shoe, and their feet are too large, so they end up actually chopping off pieces of their feet.
Oh.
And
ew.
So, yeah. So one stepsister...
I mean, that's one way to make it fit, I guess.
I mean, the blood, though, would be an issue, I think. The blood is actually what gives them away. The birds...
Okay, I guess someone knew.
The birds tell the prince as they're driving away happily ever after with the stepsister... They're like, the blood, it's not the right bride. And so he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Look, there's blood in your shoe.
Oh, birds, you're so right. He's just like, oh, yes, birds, they're blood.
So they turn around, they go back. The other stepsister tries on the shoe. It's too small, so she chops off her part of her heel, shoves it in the shoe. And again, they drive off, and the birds are like, no, there's blood, the shoe, it's wrong. Comes back. And now the shoe, by now, is disgusting, but Cinderella puts her foot in it, and they live happily ever after.
Yeah, wash that out. I don't know about that.
But at the wedding of the prince and Cinderella, Cinderella has these birds peck out their eyeballs of the sisters.
At the wedding?
At the wedding.
Oh, that's lovely.
Right next to them. It was intense. So that's one. They all have the same kind of theming, where it's very close to the Disney story as you would know it, but with very graphic extras.
Yeah.
Rapunzel is very similar. Rapunzel, the Grimm version, the common theme in most of these fairy tales is a mom and dad that are trying to have children but can't. So in this particular version of Rapunzel, the mother has an intense craving for this Rapunzel, which is lettuce, in the garden of the enchantress. So the husband goes to get some. He gets caught.
I get it. You see some delicious food, and it's like, yeah, I want
some of that. That lettuce looks good.
I don't know about lettuce, though.
When he gets caught, he ends up bargaining with the enchantress. She can have all the lettuce she wants, but the enchantress wants their firstborn child in return.
That's a lot.
Is that a fair trade?
I feel like that's
not a fair trade. So then the story is, like, as we know it, she lives with her stepmother in the tower. Her hair is how she gets up and down. A prince hears her voice, falls madly in love with her.
Classic.
Tricks Rapunzel to let her hair down. He climbs up. They fall in love. The enchantress catches them, tells the prince that Rapunzel is dead, but instead she's banished to the woods and cut off her hair. And then the prince, out of grief, jumps out the window of the tower, lands in a thorn bush, blinds himself, wanders the forest, aimlessly weeping, and then hears Rapunzel's voice. She cries and heals his eyes with her tears. The end. They live happily ever after.
Well, I will say that's a Disney ending.
Yeah, they for the most part have
besides like the whole thorn and eye.
Yeah,
and you know.
Yeah, well, that's the theme is the violence, but then the happily ever after. Yeah. The other one I read, Snow White, she's 7 in the Grimm stories. I just want that
pointed out. Yeah, I remember you showed me some of the illustrations, and I was like, she looks like an adult.
Yes, in the illustration, she is an adult, but in the story, she is 7 years old when her stepmother tries to have her murdered by the huntsman, tries to cannibalize on the liver and lungs that she once brought back. Tricks her 3 times into getting poisoned, the 3rd time stuck.
okay. Like, hey, I know what you're trying to do. I think I would have caught on, like, the second time.
Like, she's living with these dwarves. She gets poisoned the 1st time. And they're like, don't let strangers into the house. So this old maid comes back a 2nd time, gives her a free comb, poisons her. And they're like, quit talking to strangers.
Stranger danger. Come on.
The 3rd time, she gives her an apple. It gets stuck in her throat. They think she's dead. They put her in a glass coffin. The prince wants her after a very long time, it says. A very long time. Prince falls in love with her corpse.
Weird.
Asks the dwarves for her. And then when they move her, the poison apple gets jostled out of her throat. She wakes up. They live happily ever after.
She coughs it up. She just throws it up.
Yeah, it was just lodged in her throat.
Okay, the apple was poisoned, right? It's not what made her like go out. It was the fact that it got caught.
It's a fairy tale.
Look, I'm just like, the circumstances in which this happened doesn't seem...
Yeah. My favorite is the Briar Rose one because I find it actually hilarious unintentionally. It's the same deal. She gets cursed as a baby because this witch didn't get invited to the baby shower kind of deal.
Is this a Maleficent kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Maleficent where she's like, you didn't invite me. You know what? Your kid's going to die when she's 15.
Cool.
But then the other fairy is like, nah, she's not going to die. She's just going to sleep for 100 years. So
hey.
her parents... Knowing that on her 15th birthday, prick her finger on the spinning wheel, leave for her 15th birthday. So she's wandering around by herself, finds the spinning wheel, pricks her finger. Parents come back and they're like, what?
We would have never guessed.
Everybody falls asleep. The kingdom is surrounded by giant thorn bushes, just like in Maleficent. Many people go in to try and rescue her, but they all die in the thorn bushes, except for this one dude who starts walking in and had been 100 years, so the thorn bushes just disappear. And he's like, oh, sweet. And then he walks into the castle. Everybody's still sleeping, but it's been 100 years, so time's up, so everybody starts waking up. And then he finds the princess, and he goes to kiss her, but the time is up, so she wakes up anyway. I just love that it's not based off of the kiss.
The irony is like, oh, it wasn't you. It was like, it was just my time.
It was just, you got lucky. It had been 100 years. So everybody wakes up, they fall in love, and live happily ever after.
It would have been funny. He's like, he kisses, like, but I saved you. He's like, no, it's like, you're not my type.
Thanks for waking me up, but also you didn't do anything. I am no damsel. So yeah, that's kind of the gist. Okay. I really liked it. That was probably my favorite of the ones that I read. But I do like Sleeping Beauty as a Disney story, too.
Yeah.
But you can kind of see why Disney would change some of these things, perhaps. Yeah. So the core story is the same.
They can change it in the live-action films.
There's just no violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah?
That's all I got.
Okay. So... We did choose these fairy tales for a very specific reason. We do have a program coming up on July 24th at the Hart Memorial Library. It's the Kids Rock Storytime. It'll be Twisted Fairy Tales.
Yes.
So it'll be all your favorite fairy tales, but a little bit different.
With a twist.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be at 11 a.m. on July 24th. And without further ado, I believe you are closing.
Yes. So I guess our episode should end, as any good fairy tale does, with, and they all lived happily, duly ever after.
Boo! I'm not happy.
You never are, John.